I think it is.
Every set, there's some white card, and they're like, oh, this might go in. The rest of us, every set, I'm like, I don't know if there's nothing here for me.
I think it's because the floor is so low. You're like, oh, there's a creature they printed. Okay. And they put some kind of gimmicky thing on it. I mean, it's almost never good enough.
Man, I play Become Immense.
Car rules.
It's like a...
It's plus seven... 12, plus 12.
Yeah, but it's like a 7 mana pump spell.
Okay, yeah, Treasure Cruise is an 8 mana draw 3.
Like, would it be that hard to print something better than Vines of Vastwood?
I'll give you that.
Well, spoiler season starts tonight. I got an urge I just can't fight. Tweet to the community. Is a strong enough legacy?
Or a slot on it and see.
Is this strong enough for legacy? Two cards make it go. It maybe fits in D&T. Is this strong enough for legacy?
Hello and welcome to the Canadian Threshold, the legacy podcast that can't flank out of Strixhaven because we went to the School of Hard Mocks, y'all. My name is Quinn Omori, and I'm here as always with my co-host, Brendan McBain. McBain, what's up?
Hey, Quinn.
And Jeff Kinsey. Jeff, how's it going?
It's so hard to believe these are improv.
You know, if it wasn't for this pandemic, I would be out there on stages right now. I want you to give me a place and also a magic card that is... from House Skizzerix. Go ahead. We'll riff on this. We'll save that for later. You haven't read the spoiler, I see.
I don't even know what House Skizzerix is. Like,
isn't Skizzerix the... What's that thing that's like a 5/3 for 4 mana with kicker 1 red?
That's a Skizzix.
Ah, shit.
I think I might have mixed up like that and like an EDM like group together and...
I definitely have sleeved up.
Just made it sound like Harry Potter.
A Skizzix for a, what do they call those? Junior Super Series back in the day.
Can we do an episode about your Junior Super Series? I want to hear about those.
We should probably bring Tristan on one day and we can talk about like our past accolades with our Junior Super Series top eights. I think he actually won one. I only ever top eighted them.
He won a scholarship.
How are we not doing this?
One time, Tristan brought his dad to like his beer festival thing, and Tristan's dad had a few beers like the rest of us, and he was like, where do you know everybody? And he's like, oh, I know like, you know, these people from here. And he's like, oh, I know Quinn from like music stuff and also magic. And he goes, oh, this guy's a bad influence. And he goes, but magic, at least Tristan, you won that tournament, you got that scholarship. It's like the most money he made till he became a teacher.
We're just keeping this content in our back pocket.
We just used it.
Damn.
On that note, actually, congratulations to Tristan and his wife, Danielle. And I was going to say their other kid, Finn, but Finn didn't do anything. He just sat there. I have a new baby. Congratulations. He
provided support. If Finn was a shithead, they might not.
That's true.
Yeah. Baby Charlie shout is Finn
out,
to think.
Shout out to Finn for not being a shitty baby. Because now you got a brother.
Yeah. That's the real that's gas, I think. But yeah. We're getting ahead of.
That's three people right there. That's gas. Yeah, done.
We're getting ahead of ourselves.
Why don't we back it up?
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, like, let's clean things up a bit. And Jeff, why don't you give us some housekeeping?
I have just about as exciting as housekeeping news can be in this age of digital tournaments. And that is Wizards of the Coast, our friends, our enemy, are having another... McBain's showing me his cider and it's distracting me. They're having another God account period. March 31st to what? April 14th. Magic Online is having the same token things, $25 in the store. March 31st, April 14th. And with this comes a Legacy Super Qualifier, Thursday, April 8th, 7 a.m. Pacific. Not ideal. And if the last time has anything to show for it, the entry will unfortunately be two of the tokens, which is like $50. So, you know, could be better. Time could be better. Entry could be a little cheaper. But super qualifier, God accounts. Very exciting. I think we'll probably do some kind of garbage Canthress stream during that period, too, as it feels like a tradition.
Should I take the day off work on the 7th or on the 8th and then get really drunk?
I'm really
on the
considering 7th? It as I'm and thinking then this right
play
now.
Play hungover on the 8th?
Yes.
I'm like 85% there with you right now.
I'm going to look at
my work calendar right now. Do I have anything important that I commit to on the 8th?
Okay, so I didn't know about this at all. Was this announced like this week?
Yeah.
Like today, right?
Yeah, I found out about it today, which is very good. And I found out about it through somebody tweeting a picture of it. So I had to independently check and see if it existed and make sure nobody was just like scamming the page.
Just like the weirdest troll. That's like the classic, this is not a joke. Jokes have punchlines. Thing right. on Twitter where you're like, haha, I made a thing up.
You got excited, didn't you?
And it's not that outlandish. And you liked it. Like,
take that deep fake and you're like, wow. Is this all you have to do? That's really cool. I'm like, I think this goes back to a conversation with Ian a while ago when we were talking about the bannings and just like the success that was both the qualifier and then going back to Eternal Weekend. And it looks like it's made it through we could probably almost like back calculate this of like how long it takes an idea to go through the corporate machine of Wizards.
Mm-hmm.
And really timestamp this. Probably go back to one of our other episodes in the fall and call that as like T0 and then start calculating. But I'm super excited. This is Thursday, April 8th. Quinn, have you checked your calendar yet?
I have. I'm
waiting for you to be done so I can check mine.
I also thought initially I didn't realize you were talking about Ian Duke, even though that made sense. But I heard deep fakes and I thought you were maybe talking about Ian from Dead Format. And I was like, did you guys have him on? And like, were you guys on Dead Format? And I wasn't invited. So hurt right now.
Maybe we can like deep fake his voice to be on here. Surely they've recorded enough content to have like one of those little AI things reproduce him. Can we look into that? Can we have a fake Ian as a guest?
Just like fake anyone who's talked the most. Like we just get fake Gavin Berhe on. And then he talks about spoilers don't exist, and that's a real joke. Free one for you, twitter.com.
I think I've also figured out the system. If you ever want God accounts to come back on Magic Online, just ask me to re-enable my rental account, and then they'll come back immediately. It's the same system as if any of you ever want to buy any stocks or anything, just get me to buy it first.
I was going to say, I'm like, didn't you make this offer last time about buying stocks?
Exactly.
And tanking them.
See, and you know, I reactivated my account.
I almost bought a deck 2 days ago. Online.
2 days ago, I reactivated my account and boom, God accounts.
Okay, hold on.
You're welcome.
Quinn, you're second. Jeff, what was the first thing you played when you reactivated your account? Like, what triggered this?
I haven't played anything yet.
You're such a disappointment.
I saw that mentor list that was looked honestly horrific, with like the unearths and all kinds of shit, and I was like, I'm reactivating my account.
Wait, like the Callum's Esper mentor list?
No, there was a real janky one, like I think like 2 weeks ago. I gotta find this again. It was like a gigantic pile.
I'm done with you, Jeff. Quinn.
I'll mute in my corner.
Did you pick up your MTGO deck yet? Like, what's going on here?
No, I bought a Volcanic Island instead. Off of Ed.
It's like one ticket.
Ed gave me a good deal, and he took a bunch of cards that I was going to sell on Facebook, and then I don't have to sell them on Facebook.
Oh, that's so like
a real.
You doubled down. A real bro move. That's amazing value. Yeah.
He asked for like a little bit of a discount off whatever price I was going to put up, and I was like, just a guess, please. That's worth the money to not have to talk to anybody about like, could you actually send it maybe on Tuesday in the mail? And then also, I was wondering if you could maybe knock another 5% off. I was like, Ed, you can take this deal, take all these cards, and here's some cash. Let's do this.
Yeah, shout out to Ed. I picked up 2 Verdant Catacombs off him recently when I decided that I wanted to play Knight of the Reliquary and Maverick. You know, shout out to our, I don't know, who is that? Guest. There's the word I'm looking for. Doug's on Twitch when he came on and was talking about Maverick and things. I was just like, you know what? Fair green, white magic. I haven't played a lot of that in a while, so I'm going to play some of that.
Those old border knights were getting you hot under the collar.
Oh, yeah. Like, basically, I was just waiting literal years and years for old border knights to come out. And now I have them. So you bought a Volcanic Island. That's exciting. So what's your dual land count right now?
2 Underground Seas. If anyone has a really good deal on an extremely well-loved Underground Sea, like a third one, and then I'm probably good, I think, because of 3 Volks.
What's your offer in Canadian ducats?
I don't know. I don't even know anymore.
Like 600 you would snap off?
I would snap that off.
Okay.
Yeah.
700 snap that off?
I would think about it. Yeah.
Okay. And even all that, right. So somewhere like, in there is like your
700 is like, I would think about that. And I'm pretty sure that's an insane deal. So that's how expensive things are.
Yeah. I don't know. Prices are so variable right now that I've seen like such a large range on prices. Like if you're talking to a store, they're just like, oh, that'll be $4,500. But if you're talking to someone who actually like bought the card 15 years ago and is like, yeah, I want to sell this at like above buy list and it's in HP condition, you can get a much more reasonable deal.
Yeah, I think, I mean, my best case scenario would be if I find someone who needs like a C Ancestral Recall or like a C Mox Emerald, because I think I'd rather have a couple dual lands that I'll use a lot than some CE power that I use very infrequently. But I digress. Should we talk about this Legacy Super Qualifier?
I have one thing to say about this Legacy Super Qualifier. Dun, 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 dun. I honestly feel like I am the winner of this Super Qualifier.
One way to put it.
The best Jeff in Legacy. I'm just putting myself well below. The best Jeff in Legacy has taken his crown. This is very exciting. The worst part of this whole thing is that he's playing 4 fucking Gilded Drakes.
Like, you have a whole box of cards, and he still found a way to one add the Gilded Drakes, and also probably some other cards you don't have, because he played 80 of them in his main deck.
Yeah. JTL won the Super Qualifier, qualified for the Players Tour, Pro Tour, whatever. It doesn't matter. It's the best. It's the best thing that could have happened.
Well, he was already qualified for your heart, and now he like actually won your heart, I think.
Oh, he had it a long time ago.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The first time I saw that result with like Fibblethip and like 4 Recruiter Guards, I was sold. I think you can go back and listen to this podcast, and I think there is a particular joy and tone in my voice the first time we looked at that.
Quinn, you'll probably have to go search it back.
Oh, it exists. August, whatever, 2020.
There was probably several Oh Babies. And then and then he probably diverted to like Weather Wayfair for a while.
Oh, yeah.
Sat around on Weather Wayfair and then brought it back to Fibblethip.
I think the originalist played both.
The originalist had tithes, right?
Yep.
Do you own tithes?
I don't own tithes.
They spiked. They spiked, which is so absurd.
God damn it, Jeff. Anyways, okay, I'm going to take us down the top eight real quick. And the top two decks, which is beautiful. Number one, Jeff, Espervile. Number two, Noden Tree on Death and Taxes. Beautiful, very nice, work of art. number three, Elves, and then Ant, Rug Delver, Reanimator. How's this Death's Combo? I don't know, well, that could be anything these days, and Eldrazi. I want to also point out, real quick, we don't have official results or deck lists posted anywhere. So this is all a massive thank you to Joe Dyer and the Legacy Data Collection Group. Here's a brief ad. If you're going to be competing in a challenge, please join the Discord and help out or talk to Joe and he can get you oriented. It's awesome seeing them collect this data, especially when we have these droughts where WotC doesn't give us the information themselves.
They're back.
They're back.
They're back. They're back today.
I don't think they backdated it though.
They didn't. They fixed like the two lines of code that like output things to text, and then the four lines of code that check for duplicates. They brought it back things for like the legacy prelim.
Somebody definitely has like a scheduled task running on a server people thought should have been decommissioned a few years ago, and they went 100% turned it off like a month ago. And they were like, oh fuck.
Yeah, it's one of those like, so I don't work in like any IT or anything like that, but I imagine it's like, what does that thing do? I don't know. Let's turn it off and find out.
I can tell break. You 100% of the time, like this happens a lot. I do deal with stuff with people decommissioning servers and stuff all the time. And like, the problem is everything on paper is where it should be. And that's great. But then, you know, 8 years ago, somebody wrote their own little thing and didn't tell anybody about it and put it in a corner. And then we have deck lists every, you know, week posting the 5-0s.
At an old job I worked at, we like the software was on version like 6.something. And one day I remember like going to look for something in like a back room, like I need like an extra like Ethernet cable or something. And I was like, what's that box over there? And it's like a server running. It's on. Like what's that? And someone's like, oh, that's like running version 4.95. And we had one customer who like we couldn't upgrade, so they were on it. And it was just running in the corner of our office. Like, that's it. No redundancy, just going.
Just waiting for it to die.
I remember just like walking into the room being like, I can't believe I work here.
Fucking IT stuff. Is it called IT? I don't know. I don't even know what to call it.
Yeah. Like, well, it's fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
Computer whatever. Stuff.
We're the people that found Silicon Valley like way too on the nose when like other people watch it and they're like, seems outlandish. No one would say that. Oh, they say worse.
Nobody would make this series of bad decisions.
I've been meaning to watch that. But okay,
anyway. It feels like every year another actor gets outed as like a sex pest. So I don't know. You can probably stay away.
Okay. Only the one guy they kicked out. They left the show, quote unquote.
It was Thomas Middleditch this week. A bunch of news about it. Yeah, drama. This is our drama section. Anyways, super qualifier, very cool. You guys have any other thoughts about this? 308 players.
Thomas Middleditch is Canadian, so you knew someone was up. You knew he is rotten. Can't trust him.
Do we want to like just talk about this Yorion Espervile?
Can we go back to Silicon Valley?
No.
Please, talk about Yorion Espervile.
I didn't even know it was a Yorion deck at this point, but I'm just looking at it now and like Yuri on decks are always like a little bit shocking to the eyes because you're like, wow, really? Four of those? Wow. Okay. Four of those. Oh, hmm. And then, oh, wait, everything's just four of. It's either four of or it's a tutor target, basically, is my conclusion. But
often it's both.
So the cards that like stand out on this list as just probably when they're played, it creates a very interesting game state or like interaction when it happens. The one that really stands out to me is Baron.
Oh, Baron's so good in the deck.
Talk to me about like what Baron does in this deck.
So, I mean, level one Baron is just bouncing your opponent's planeswalker or whatever. But the real engine with Baron is you start bouncing your own stuff and then you draw cards. So it's almost like a slow soul herder. So you can vial in Baron, like bounce a recruiter, play recruiter again. You find another thing and you draw another card. If you have another vial, you can go get like a soul herder or a wisp and start it all again. And like, it really is one of those things that kind of covers a few bases and then it's like offensive and defensive, but also does the recursion the deck wants.
Sounds like a Ponzi scheme. You just keep getting more of them. But then like post sideboard, you've got two Gilded Drakes in the main, two in the side. It just scares me when you're like playing against your opponent and then they just like, it's like when they reach for the sideboard to get their ley lines out, except they're Gilded Drakes. You're like, not more of these, please.
There is one card in here. So like, you know, I am immersed in the JTL lore and looking at these deck lists. But the one card that raised my eyebrows going into this is a Fourth Bridge Prowler.
Explain.
Able to name or say what this card is, Fourth Bridge Prowler? It's in the sideboard. No. It's a one of.
Was that the... Fuck. It's from Aether of Volt?
Yeah, it's from Aether of Volt. It costs one black.
God damn it. I don't know.
When Fourth Bridge Prowler enters the battlefield, you may have target creature get -1/-1 until end of turn. It's a 1/1.
So it's just like bouncing removal for weenie decks?
I guess.
Like, like for elves or something? You're just like, hey, here's my repeatable.
Like, it seems good in that case. You can, you know, you can soul herder it and just start eating stuff all the time.
The real value is when you engineer, plague engineer on something. And then they're like, ooh, I'm safe. And you're like, oh, I'm going to play my Fourth Bridge Prowler. Kill your thing. Bounce it.
Yeah. They like attack you. You're like, okay, block before damage. Activate Vial on one. Put in Fourth Bridge Prowler.
Play Yorion. Target my Fourth Bridge Prowler.
Anytime you actually get to Yorion in these decks, oh my God. I also want to say.
You probably consume like 10 minutes of MTGO clock when you do. Like, that's just when, like, the amount of stuff.
Starts over, replays everything. The one thing.
This is foreshadowing.
Oh, go ahead, Quinn.
This is foreshadowing to our next segment. There's a Thieving Skydiver in the sideboard of this.
Oh, yeah.
What does that do?
This is actually a new ish card.
Yeah. So one on a blue, kicker X, X cannot be zero.
Okay.
Which is kind of, it's extra lesson. Yeah, so you can't steal Moxen. When Thieving Skydiver enters the battlefield, if it was kicked, gain control of target artifact with converted mana cost X or less. If that artifact is an equipment, attach it to Thieving Skydiver.
And it's a flying 2/1.
Holy shit.
So you steal like Jitays or Vials or.
And is it until it leaves play or is it like you now have this artifact?
Forever.
This deck is so sweet.
So the one point of contention I want to raise, Jeff, talk to me, reach out. I need to know what's going on. Are you okay? One Leyline of the Void? What?
In your like 90 card deck?
Yeah. What? Like, what's happening?
I mean, you can hardcast it.
Yeah, but that's like, by the time you hardcast it, who cares?
Yeah, like, why would you? Is there any way to tutor it?
No.
Honestly
don't know.
What is that called? Like odds. The Sam Black? Who was the famous pro who always had like one ley line? Oh, no, sorry. It's a Ligier or Ligier, the French player.
Mm-hmm.
He would always have one ley line in his deck. That's who it was.
Why?
He's just like, you know, it's there. Like, wee wee.
I mean, got him. Yeah, it really confuses me. Also, like, the one giver of runes on the side, but I don't know. Look, the man's a master. He won. Clearly, I'm nowhere near the same level of understanding as this.
I guess, like, in that case, you're using giver of runes, like, maybe to, like, punch through damage? You know, like, you tutor it up in, like, a board stall, and then you just kind of waltz through an attack.
Oh, sure, but, like, you can play mom. Like,
Can't waltz through Eldrazi.
I think it's true. Is that was what the thought was? I don't know. Look, I am but a mere peasant at JTL's feet trying to understand what's going on here. I love it. I will buy all of these cards, and I will register every single one of them. An important note, because it's 80 cards, I mean, because it's 80 cards, but there's only two Tundras. I have the mana base for this. I just need some shitty fetches, but who cares?
Okay, the intervening time, just before we go, I quickly went on MTGO Top 8, searched Li Jie, and looked at, like, his past results. And I compared all his decks, and I'm scrolling down to the sideboard. And he only ever includes one Leyline of the Void. in all the instances that he had it, he only ever includes one. So,
have Jeff and LeJay ever been seen in the same place at the same time?
When he reaches out to you, he can let you know. So is that all we want to say about that? Or do we want to say anything about, like, the general... How, like, if you're smelling the glass of wine that is the Legacy format right now, how do you think it smells? Like, is it, what are your words? Is it woody?
What does that mean?
A little peaty.
Peaty. It's more of a Scotch thing, but
they're really shitty, like, wine.
How's the tannins? I don't know, like, from someone who doesn't play Legacy, Jeff, like, what's your opinion, like, outside looking in at the Legacy format right now?
I mean, it seems pretty good. There's a lot of, like, garbage, like, four or five color decks that are existing, like, Frenemy of the show, Elliot. It was just, we played yesterday, a couple of us. He was playing that list from Lynn Chalice. That's like, I don't know. It's like Esper splashing red for Queen Marchesa and Colgan's Command. And, like, the mana base is just, you know, a list of all of your duels. And, like, he played something that looked like the mirror at one point. And it's like, look, I don't like people playing all of these colors. But as a wise man once said, if you're going to play five colors of mana, you need to feel five types of pain. So, like, either of those decks would have been dead cold to, like, a Blood Moon and back to basics, and that's the way it should be.
Mm-hmm. That was gonna be my point, is, like, aren't they, like, they're cool and they're interesting, but they're fragile,
right? Like, you're greedy and you feel like you're greedy. That's important.
I actually played Lynn Chalice last night, and I thought they would be on that deck, and they weren't. They were more on, like, this, like, I don't know, they had, like, Noble Hierarchs and Hull Breacher and Uros and more of that kind of brew. And the end was Broughton. I'll just say that much. Can't stop the Endbringer.
Yeah, there's a lot of Hull Breacher around, which is, like, fine. I mean, it really, the decks I play doesn't matter at all. It's just the card's, like, lame. It's a snoozer.
Why is it worse than every white card that does that?
Because it has flash. Like, I want my stuff to have flash. And give treasures? Like, come on, it does so much. Honestly, I also like white stuff aside, whatever, I honestly am not a fan of, like, the flash in, stop you drawing cards thing, especially at, like, a relatively cheap cost. Like, Notion Thief, like, sucked, but was, like, bad enough that it was sweet.
you know?
I got Ocean Thieved on Thursday.
Oh.
And I was playing ninjas.
But like, you know, that's like four mana.
Yeah.
It and just, it's also then not as good as Hullbreacher. Like you draw the cards instead, but like Hullbreacher also, this is the weirdest thing too, is like the specific clause about drawing cards isn't just like one a turn like everything else. It's like outside of your draw step, which maybe is kind of how Notion Thief is written, but I don't know.
I believe Notion Thief is the same, yeah.
Hullbreacher just sucks. Make it cost like blue, triple blue. Good to go.
Would you be happier if it was like blue one?
Yeah. I think it's more interesting. Also, like, you know, like the Echo Karn decks and stuff are fine, but I think it's not like super fun or interesting.
Oh man. I also played an Echo Karn deck last night. Chalice on one against that deck, they just like they cry. And Chalice on zero.
I was gonna say.
Sorry, what the hell am I thinking? Chalice on zero, like
cry tears of joy.
Yeah. And the fact that you can like then deploy like some kind of creature or do something, but then also just like throw down a casual Chalice on zero. And even if they like dump their hand at the beginning, you just like play it because then they can't like start doing their whole Emery thing and all sorts of other things.
Yeah, they got to get up to like Karn mana to do something.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm happy with where that deck is at, where it's not like it's different enough than everything else that it's its own thing. Before it felt as though it was kind of overlapping with a bit of stuff, but now it's on its own and it's unique and interesting and it has like several cards in it that are just unique to that deck. And yeah, I like it.
Yeah, I want to be clear too, like any complaining that I'm doing now is like on such a different scale at all than like anything about like Oko or stuff before. That was like, oh my god, I'm sick of this, like I'm done with it. And this is like, you know, somebody's asking me about petty grievances.
I think to go back to a shitty analogy of wine, it was more of like an acrid acidic that you were getting. And now it's just kind of like these floral notes.
I don't know if it's a floral.
No, it's not quite floral. Okay. we'll stick with woody then.
The sommeliers of legacy.
There you go.
Well, that should have been the intro.
Do we want to go to the actual sommelier section?
Sure. Unless I don't know, Quinn, do you have any thoughts on anything in here? Anything exciting out of the legacy format, the qualifier?
I'm a sicko, so I love seeing Reanimator coming back.
And as Rodrigo corrected everyone, that was Ice Station Zebra. Because it was actually like four Living Wish Reanimator.
That I saw him talking about that, but that was the Ice Station
Zebra? That's the deck that top aided?
Yeah.
Woo.
Okay, do we want to take a moment on that one?
Just a moment of silence for this great man.
Yeah, like I want to take 30 seconds to think about Grizzlebrand. Don't talk. Okay. you can go. You don't have to count it down, McBain. It was a joke.
Hey, I was respecting their father, okay? When I saw that list get posted, it was like the actual person who ran it. I immediately knew that Anthony, who plays in our weeklies, was like driving down to Stronghold to pick up four Living Wishes so that he could play it. Because any crazy combo deck that gets posted, he is all over that thing. So that'll be exciting. And Rodrigo will probably show up as well and play it. So we'll have like, you know, 10% of our metagame just be Ice Station Zebra.
I look forward to playing on Thursday.
You lie, sir. You lie.
I had to wash my dog's hair. Sorry, I couldn't make it.
I have big plans. Okay, shit, we've stalled enough. Did we want to talk about shitty other things?
Yeah, you're really teeing this up well.
I know.
Keep going.
It's a good transition. Somebody save me. I'm floundering.
Continue. No. You. Well, this is like actually perfectly on point for this section. So why don't you continue to miss?
Okay, well, when we looked at the card, we just talked about some cards. We talked about Queen Marchesa. We talked about Living Wish. We talked about like 4th Bridge Prowler, 10th Bridge Prowler, one of the number yeah. prowlers, not number one. So what we wanted to talk about were some cards that were like really hyped up during spoiler season that everyone thought, or some people thought, might get there. I think hyped cards are like Woodstock. If the card ends up being good, then everyone's like, oh yeah, I was all about it. And if the card ends up being bad, suddenly like, I always thought that card was bad. Are you kidding me? Did you read it? No. I knew Oka was going to be good. People were foolish. The three of us as honest Magic players, honest Planeswalkers, though, I think want to talk about some cards that we were really hyped on that just didn't get there.
So I made my own segment, my own section for this. And we talked about this before, but, you know, as the resident white shitty card player, I certainly have a lot of shitty card options to choose from. And I pared down the list of ones that I was excited about beforehand and played a decent amount to try to like make work to varying levels of success. So number one on that list is Breitling, which I mean, Quinn, I don't know what your opinion on Breitling is, but my opinion is that Breitling fucking rules.
Before I get into this, I just want to say that depending on how you pause when you say as the resident white shitty card player, it means a lot. Like two really different things. And you did it correctly, so kudos to you. But just throwing that out there. Breitling, I like Morphling, you know? Like, yeah. Sure.
What if there's a Morphling you could put in on Aether Vial?
Why can't you put Morphling on Aether
Vial? Well, not on like turn fucking 7.
Yeah, okay. yeah, I don't know. It just feels warm. Like I've never played against this card and been like, oh no. I think that's the thing about it. It just like comes down and you're like, okay, you got a 3/3.
Yeah, it's definitely like, I think when I think about Breitling, it tickles this like spot in my brain where like you're playing those games against like D&T against Miracles and you have like a vial they can't deal with. And you're just like every turn, like putting down the Breitling and see if it gets to exist for a while. And you know, you spend like 10 turns chipping in for a little bit of damage, bouncing it back. And like, that's so good. That's where I want to live. And like Breitling just creates that situation.
I think the thing about that game is that at the same CMC, True Name Nemesis exists.
True Name Nemesis gets got by Terminus. No, that's see, true. This is the thing, though. I'm not going to argue this is a good card because games like I was just describing and, you know, thinking about, those don't happen anymore. Or if they do, it's like one specific niche, it's one specific matchup, and everything else, this isn't very good. This is just a dorky 3/3 that can be like a fucking 1/5 sometimes. So it didn't make it, but you know, when it came out, I was excited. They were fucking expensive. Do you remember? I think they were like 50 tickets on Magic Online for a couple weeks.
Oh my god,
it's because they're in the whatever stupid set, and then there's like just in treasure chests.
Yeah, they're in Battle Bond. So they're currently $2 or 0.2 tickets.
They were. They got up to 69 tickets on MTG.
They're pricey, nice. Man.
When they first came out.
Treasure chests are a mistake. The second card on my list is one that I played when I was starting to play D&T. And I actually, when I won my GPT back in the day, is Vryn Wingmare. Oh, man. This card was so much fun to play in D&T. Like, it's one of those things that is, like, it's weak to everything the deck's already weak to. Like, you know, a bunch of -1/-1 effects. Like, back in the day, Plague Engine didn't exist. But, you know, like, Dread of Night, like all of a sudden you just cut off way more of your deck. Electricery, is it Staticaster? I remember Marcel got me with, what's that card, McBaniel knows, from Ice Age with the dragon on it? It's
Fire Covenant.
Yes.
Fire Covenant, yeah. Yeah.
Easily get
one red covenant. Black pay X life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
X, and then deal X damage to any number of creatures divided any way you choose.
Oh yeah.
Oh.
Remember Delver used to play that?
Woo.
The card is insane.
So you can tell from the list of things that kill this why it's bad. But man, when Vryn Wingmare was good, oh, you felt like a genius. Like people playing like four mana for Ponders, like, oh my god. You're just crushing in the air and every spell costs five. Like there was a good period of time when I was really trying to make this work. And like
when your opponent went like Thalia to Vryn Wingmare,
yeah,
you're just like, ugh.
It was also like peak D&T House of Cards, because you have this whole thing where, okay, I've made it. All of your spells cost like at least three or four. Like I'm going to get them. And then they just go like tap four mana, Dread of Night, and like everything's over. Like you're done.
So Jeff, I'm just doing a search here if like Vryn Wingmare is still played at all. And I found a recent vintage deck of Death and Taxes. The creature suite is 4 Thalia, 4 Archon of Amira, 3 Glow Rider.
That's when you know they're scraping the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah, and then you've got like a bunch of Eldrazi in there as well.
Yeah.
You've got the Vryn, you've got, and then there's some Revokers as well.
Oh yeah, vintage white trash.
That is Death and Taxes cubed. Many taxes.
Yeah, Archon's pretty good in vintage. And all that stuff, like just turn on Lotus, Vryn Wingmare, get them. The last card that I have on my list is one that I tried. I'm trying to remember when this was. I think it would have been maybe around GP Seattle 2015, if that lines up. It's Seagate Wreckage. Now, do either of you know what Seagate Wreckage does?
Two and a colorless, tap it to draw a card, activate this ability only if you have zero cards in hand.
I'm pretty sure that's
it.
Does.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah. So I was playing one of these. I think I tried two at some point, just in D&T with at the time one alternating probably one or two caverns. So you have like 10 colorless sources. And like if there's one thing D&T doesn't really want, it's more colorless lands. Despite being a one color deck, you need that color a lot. But you know, the three or four times in my life I've probably ever drawn a card of Seagate Wreckage, it was great. But until then, it's like you're making your mana base worse for drawing a card sometimes. And sometimes even when you really want to be able to draw cards, you can't because, I don't know, maybe you have like a Swords of Plowshares that you don't want to spew or something. And you just have a stupid land that doesn't do anything. It sucks. But I tried it. So I discarded a bunch in my box. Does
predate Palace Jailer?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Okay, so like you're really hard up for like any extra card draw, basically.
Yeah, exactly. This was like it. Oh, the days before Palace Jailer. Those are talking about the list at that time, like Banisher Priest. Ooh, the arguments between Fiend Hunter and Banisher Priest, oh, they were heated.
Going back to the records, I did find a 2017. In the summer 2017, someone played D&T with one Seagate Wreckage in it. That's the only Dead record. Man. Everyone else is either Eldrazi and they're playing it, which makes sense. Like often you just spew your hand.
You at least don't have the natural drawback of it just not casting your spells.
Yeah, and then the other one was lands. There was a couple lands decks that were playing it. There was even one by Yakat, which is a famous lands player in Japan. And he did an MTGO preliminary in January of this year. And he had a Seagate Wreckage in there. He plays all sorts of crazy stuff. He was on lands, but it was like a Naya lands. So he had the likes of two Skyclave in the main, an Uro, four Elvish Proclaimer, Savine's Reclamation, Swords to Plowshares, all sorts of shenanigans. God damn. But yeah, this list actually looks more wild. Blue elemental blast on the side. Sideboard crop rotation. Oh man, this is classic Kikat.
So that's my whole list that I wanted to go through. Quinn and I did a whole episode talking about other shitty cards I've tried to play before I have on hand. And I really wanted to distill it down to three that I had like distinct memories for.
So I think we're gonna rapid fire some of these. We're gonna stop when we think we have something to say. Moving from DNT, a vial deck, to a card that you cannot play with Aether Vial, Solemnity. I was excited about this because it just seemed like
to be fair,
do stupid things.
Yeah, and honestly, a lot of these cards I didn't get any feelings when I saw them, but now that I think about it, when I first saw Solemnity, like I was new to lands and making 2020s, and I saw that, I was like, this has to be cool. There has to be some kind of cool list. There wasn't, but I definitely remember seeing a lot of interesting takes on that.
Oh, yeah. Does this combo with Dark Depths?
Yeah.
Oh, you just put in Dark Depths
and get a 2020.
Huh.
Solemnity's sick. Like the thing about Solemnity is that what it does is so unique, right? Nothing else I can think of, certainly nothing before, did that effect, which is like, yeah, shit doesn't get counters. And like, maybe someday something will come along that's better than, you know, playing Dark Depths and getting a 2020, or just more glue to like justify it existing. But like, Solemnity itself is fucking cool. The amount of weird shit you can do where like somebody just plays a Glacial Chasm and you're just like, oh, fuck.
There's a deck in Historic that's a combo. Solemnity and Nine Lives. McBain, do you know what Nine Lives does?
Oh, God. I know the art.
It's just a lot of cats.
It's a whole bunch of cats. It's like a cat. It's Simba as a cat. And then all the like the Simba's parents in the background.
I think that would be fan art. There's just nine cats on the actual art.
I cannot remember.
It's a three mana enchantment, one in two white, I think. If a source would deal damage to you, prevent that damage and put a counter on Nine Lives. When Nine Lives has nine counters on it, sacrifice it and you die.
And it's hexproof.
And it's hexproof, yeah, so it can't be removed.
Oh, so then you just Solemnity and off you go. Okay.
I will say,
cool. You kill them with Bone Crusher Giant.
Do you?
Yeah, damage can't be prevented, then you just one shot.
Oh, that's how you kill them. Okay.
Yeah. Sorry. That's how I do it as the player who's like, oh, what is this?
Big point against Solemnity is planeswalkers can still get counters, right?
Yes. Artifacts, creatures, enchantments, or lands.
Nah. Like, fuck off. Just players and permanents. Let's go. Go. It's like the stupid the white curse, right? The Overwhelming Splendor, where it's just like, oh, it's humility for a bunch of shit, but not planeswalkers.
Yeah, like, you play your own with when you play it. That's how you play it with your two rectors.
Yeah, that's lame. Like, let's go big. You know, fucking screw over those planeswalkers. Make them come in with zero counters. Done.
When Solemnity came out, there was mild consternation on, I guess it wouldn't be the Discord, it would have been the Infect thread on the source. And there was just like a whole page of people being like, what do we do? People start playing Solemnity in their sideboard. And finally, someone was like, you daze it and then you kill them. Why is everyone crying about this?
Yeah, I've noted it also doesn't get rid of counters they have already, right? So like, either like you can kill it later, you can daze it then, like, yeah. But I mean, that's like peak card evaluation though, right?
Yeah, what do you do? Your opponents make a three mana enchantment. Like, you just counterspell it.
So back in 2017 when this came out, Andrea Mengucci did a article on CFB on brewing with Solemnity that I'm looking at right now. And he has a Solemn Enchantress. So it's your general Enchantress shell, but obviously Elephant Grass is gas because it doesn't get the cumulative upkeep counters. or Lorg or time counters or whatever
age
they are.
Age counters, aren't they?
Maybe.
Did you say Lorg?
Lore? I don't know.
Lore, okay.
Blade of Grass each counter. Upkeep,
the story gets more and more complicated. Join us next upkeep when two more lore counters are added.
On this episode of Dragon Ball Z, and you got Solemnity and Phyrexian Unlife in here, which again is just a total, it just wrecks Quinn, I guess. But then you've got, of course, Glacial Chasm, Dark Depths in the deck, Crop Rotation. But to be able to like turbo out Solemnity and then just like randomly crop rotate into a 2020 is pretty sweet. What else we got on this crappy list?
Well, on the topic of three mana enchantments, the next one's As Foretold.
As Foretold, sweet. Like, this is another card where people, every once in a while, it'll like crop up some kind of like As Foretold Stompy or something. And every time you see it, it's just like, oh yeah. Oh yes, this person is casting Ancestral Visions.
Yeah, did this? There are some leagues right where this popped up.
Mm-hmm.
This is a card. I guess people must play it in Commander. Like, yeah, I guess it's just good in Commander, right? Like, because it's still like $10.
It's also like absolutely the kind of card like a casual player loves.
I mean, that part of me loves it. Like, if it was $2, right? I would own these. And every once in a while on Thursday, I'd be like, I'm playing As Foretold Stompy again. Look at this. I'm playing Restore Balance.
So it was last played in 2019 in the Rug Show.
Ooh.
And it's kind of like a Rug Cascade As Foretold deck. So you can Cascade into your Ancestral Visions, or you just cast the Ancestral Visions. And then it has Crashing Footfalls as well as other value cards.
So wait, link this deck. I have the rug mana base now.
Well, don't worry. It also plays little doozy called Dreadhorde Arcanist and Renin 6 in the deck.
Oh yeah, I guess those cards are good with Dreadhorde. Eh?
Yeah. All right. So you're probably not playing this we'll deck, scrap that. But it actually looks pretty sweet. And it just has two As Foretold in it for the value. Man, sometimes I just hate shitty mythics. Where like, you know that someone opened a pack and was like, yeah, mythic. Oh my God, I'm so lucky. As Foretold. Like,
fuck. Oh, no way. People who do that, like, if you open this, you would be like, this is so cool. And you would get like owned if you're playing limited. But like, if you're a kid, as soon as it's like, you read that card and that's like, catnip for a child.
That's true.
I would be like, oh my God, in six turns I'm gonna play Shivan Dragon for free
and then I'll fire beat it just like, because I have six mana sitting around.
I would be 11. I'd be holding cards in my hand just so I could put them in for free instead of tapping mana for them. Thinking that I'm bluffing Counterspell the whole time with like five forests.
You can cast it off As Foretold.
Oh, that's true. No, you can't, can you? Isn't it once? Once each turn.
Yeah.
Not even, there's turn. No timing restriction.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
It is a mythic after all.
Okay, like the dream for this has to be when it's like on five or more and your opponent plays something and then you say, I'm putting Forceful on the stack for the alternate cost. And they go, what are you pitching? And you point at your As Foretold with five counters. And you're like, the other alternate cost? Thank you.
The other alternate cost? That's awful. So next near miss card, which I think honestly will eventually hit, it's like right on that cusp, is Magmatic Channeler.
I think this card's terrible.
I think it's bad too.
I don't know.
People talked about it, but I think this card's terrible.
I really want, for Phil's sake, for Eternal Dirtles to like really break this and actually like have fun with it. But I don't know. I think it's a really cool card. Like, it's just, there's enough unique design elements going on here where it's like the body is reasonable. The casting cost is fine. And then like, I don't know, there's a certain tension in the abilities. Like, I think there's potential.
Yeah. Here. I mean, at a base level too, it's almost just like a red Tarmogoyf. Like, you probably would just want to play Tarmogoyf anyways, but like, you know, 2 mana 4/4 is pretty strong.
I think if all the cards went in your graveyard after, like you exile the top two, you chose one, and then you put the other one in your graveyard as well, then it's like, get enough gas in there, then like it's a yes. It's just like, you have to like tap it, like you have to pay for the spell. We've been spoiled. Why would I want to pay for a spell when I can just cast it by attacking?
It does look real stupid next to Dreadhorde Arcanist, right?
You mean cast what As Foretold?
Yes. Like, maybe that's the deck. As Foretold in this, now we're talking like pure mana advantage.
Yep. Yeah, because you're revealing. How does that work? If you reveal visions, you can't cast a Vizier, can you? You have to
be able to. Why not?
Okay, you guys keep talking. I'll look this up.
So I just want to say whenever the week you end up on your As Foretold deck, that's the week I'm going to show up a Solemnity.
We should just have like the third Wednesday, like the last weekend or the last week of every month. It's like the Brew Thursday where everyone just shows up with wild stuff.
I love it. It's like on Arena, they do like a historic shakeup where it's like they have a like alt historic ban list where they just banned basically. They went in like every popular deck and took like, you know, a corner piece and just like banned it. We should do that locally if WotC want to do that for us with Legacy. It'd be fun. Some kind of garbage.
Hmm. Yeah, really. Or it's just like some voting metric where it's like the match wins don't count. It's just like you just award like spice
points. Whose legacy is it anyways?
Yeah.
The decks are made up and the points don't matter.
Hopefully people get that. So the next one, do I want to talk about this guy? Omnath.
It's, I feel like there's not much to talk about. It's fine. I've lost to it a decent amount.
Yeah, I definitely died to it a few weeks ago at our webcam weekly when Tim showed up with it and just triggered it like 4 times in a turn and I was dead. But I don't know.
Feel like some of this stuff is separated though into like sweet cards and like not sweet cards. Like Omnath's not a sweet card. Like, I'm as lame as hell. Like, it can be hard to get going, but, you know, like, gaining life constantly, drawing card.
All right, Jeff. I removed it from the show notes.
Speaking of one...
We'll keep As Foretold and Solemnity.
Another one to remove from the show notes. Opposition Agent? That card's just super playable.
Yeah, that's just got a little B-roll, doesn't it?
Oh, there it goes. Right, it's gone. Away.
Okay, the next one.
Court of Cunning.
I think this is actually like a near miss in that in relation to the amount of hype that it had, I think this is easily counted as a miss. Yeah. Like, yeah, it still sees some play or maybe as a one of, but in the show notes, I originally had it as Court of Mill because I couldn't remember the name of it, but this is Court of Cunning and people like just lost their shit on this one. And I don't think it's really done anything.
It really hasn't. Who would have thought that the only court to see any play is the white one?
I played the black one on my sideboard on Thursday.
Says the shitty white player.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know where I put the pause there, but I put it somewhere.
The black one is fucking rude. Know. Oh my God.
What does the black one do? I only know the white one because that's like... The good one
like
in my
Torment of Hail fires you like 3 times or something, doesn't it?
So the black, it's okay, Court of Ambition. It's 2 and 2 black, 4 mana. Everything else comes in the battlefield, you become monarch like all the other courts. At the beginning of your upkeep, each opponent loses 3 life unless they discard a card. If you're the monarch, instead, each opponent loses 6 life unless they discard 2 cards.
What the hell were you playing with this?
I was playing ninjas, and I had this in my sideboard. If I can guess, I played against like Miracles or something. I didn't.
Oh man, this is rude. Positive
Knight's Reach, how far we've come.
Like you just resolve this against, you know, like your blue white Miracles opponent. They just die, right?
I like how initially, I don't know, at least my interpretation when everyone was like freaking out about the courts was that control decks would play them and like, you know, control the board and just draw extra cards and do the effect. and that was where everyone went. Where it's actually kind of gone is like, it's how you fight these control decks who want to sit there and do nothing. And you're just like, Monarch, crazy effect, die, like have a nice day.
I think the stock's gone up a lot with Icefang Coatl dipping out too. I think that's been a really big gain for almost anything with Monarch.
For sure. Yeah, like even Palace Jailer's coming back.
I told you guys about Phil's deck, right? A local Vancouver player, Phil, not one of the famous Magic Phils yet.
This is the most famous
Phil. He's my most famous Phil. But
he's got a show. We've been on his show.
Oh, that's true. Before. Yeah, he has his YouTube show.
There's a clip of me at the winter.
Link to Phil's YouTube show.
Classic with very long hair.
We'll link to that episode of Phil's YouTube show. You can discover the other ones on your own. But Phil played this deck, and he had four replenishes. He had like Cast Out, Shark Typhoon, and he had, I believe, Court of Cunning, which is the blue one we talked about, the mill one, and Court of Grace, which is the one that makes angels.
Ooh.
And he had Island Sanctuaries.
Very nice.
Oh, yes.
So if anyone doesn't know, Island Sanctuary is one in a white. You may choose to skip your draw step. And if you do, only creatures with flying or island walk can attack you. And so he played Island Sanctuary. And I passed. And then I was something that didn't have flyers. I wasn't on ninjas. It was a different week. But I was something that didn't have flyers.
Painter?
Something, yeah. But I was like, I don't have any flying creatures. And I pass. And he skips his draw step. And I'm like, oh, he has three cards in hand. I'm like, that's fine. And then he plays one of the cards in his hand. And it's a Court of Grace. And he goes, I become the Monarch. And I was like, oh, wow. That's quite good. And then he just made an angel every turn until he killed me and drew his card on his Monarch step and declined to draw, and I died.
I would like to move my draw step to the end of my turn.
Yeah, you know, he just has a really slow necro in play and a moat. It was amazing.
Yeah, that's great.
Next card? Are we even talking about the next card?
I just want to say, Quinn, you talking about that has got me daydreaming about... what's that card from Mirrodin that's like, I think it's one
leveler.
Yes, but it's one blue, and it's like this woman, and it's like an O2, and like at each opponent's turn, they choose a step they skip. It's like main, like combat Fate Spinner.
Yeah.
What if there was like a Fate Spinner like card? I don't know how good this would be, but it would be that somebody takes their turn in like the opposite order.
Ooh. There's actually an uncard that I get that is probably too confusing, but I wanted to be a black border card so badly, because then when you're talking about like blinking things, it's the best. Clock Napper, do you guys know that card?
Oh, I remember playing against this.
So I stasis lock someone in the unset, which is really not, I don't think, what they had in mind for the unset. But Clock Napper enters the battlefield. When Clock Napper enters the battlefield, choose beginning phase, which is untap and upkeep, pre-combat main phase, combat phase, post-combat main phase, or ending phase. Steal that phase from target player during his or her next turn. And so you can Clock Napper, and if you have a way to blink it every turn, you just blink their beginning phase, and you untap all your lands on their turn, and they never untap again.
That's sick. That could be Black Border.
Yeah, it's 5 mana. It's not like too busted. That was like one of my favorite things in Magic.
I might have just like phased out there, but maybe I was reading phase too many times, but it's only during the next turn.
Yeah, you have to blink it.
That you steal the thing. Oh, you blink.
Every turn I just blinked it. And then they were kind of like, am I just dead now? I'm like, I don't know what's in this set. You can continue to play lands and not tap them. And then maybe you can kill this on the stack. Otherwise, yes, you're dead.
Man, following that divergence, that was a great draft night. You and I, the only people at the table with glasses. So those Beebles, that are unblockable unless the other person's glasses. You know, we got that unlock. Desmond thought seizing people, Desmond being Tristan or Taylor and Kristen's cat, who's making the choice as to what cards were being discarded. Throwing that fucking Nantuko, what the hell, like the wrestler, where it's like a flame tongue Kavu, we have to throw it, and whenever it lands on it, fights. Like, that was a really good night.
Sarah opened a spike and she was like, I didn't bring any cards. And I was like, don't worry, I brought cards in case this happened. And I'm like, I got a Jit, I have a Jace. I have like something else that was busted. She was like, oh wow, I'll take that Jit. And I just remember their opponent being like, great, great. Yeah, she came here for a fun night of unmagic. Thanks, guys.
Also, very appropriate. She's the only one of us to go to the PT.
Yes, the only spike in the room. Less exciting, Kunoros, Hound of Athreos. One white, black, vigilance, menace, lifelink. Creature cards in graveyards can't enter the battlefield. Players can't cast spells from graveyards. I played a game of Historic the other day, and I played like some kind of Thoughtseize effect. I think it might have been actually Thoughtseize on my opponent. And I took one of their cards, and they had this and an Agadeem's Awakening in their hand, and they played this, and then emoted oops. And then scoop the game up. But if they sequence that properly, I think this card's still bad.
Yeah, like in order for this card to be good, 3/3 vigilance, menace, whatever, needs to be good.
Jeff, I took it out of the show notes. Calm down. It's not even good enough to be in the show.
We're moving into the most controversial part of the podcast.
Should we save it for the end?
Hey, let's get out of the way. We're at Lumenarch Aspirant. Jeff, we're going to let you save this one as a resident D&T community man.
I'm going to raise some controversy right now. And you said Aspirant? I don't know if that's correct. That is not what I would say. Let's do a poll here.
Aspirant? Oh.
Yeah. I don't know if we're right, but we outnumber you. So we're right now.
I don't know. Maybe we should just be the aspirant.
That's how Canadians say it.
Yeah.
There's a U in it in Canada. It's like,
exactly. I know. I've played against this card a couple times, and I've always been a little impressed with it. Like, it gets out of hand really quickly. Maybe that's because like it gets bigger than my Thought Not Seers, and then I'm in trouble. But
what is there to say?
Does about... stuff? Does humans play this?
No. I think this would be at its best in some kind of like Ballista shell. I can't say anything. I feel like without entering a civil war.
I'll say it.
The card sucks. the card sucks a lot. I think it has some places in some like some vintage stuff where there's a little bit less like creature removal and you know stuff can just like chunk up pretty big. But I mean, generic beaters are never really the thing D&T is looking for.
And just remember, if you if you're taken aback by either my pronunciation of aspirant or Jeff's adjudication of this card, you should tweet directly at him at JeffDKK and not at us at Canadian Thresh, because I'll just mute you. Moving forward,
I don't think it's good. I've certainly lost to it before, but I don't think it's good. I've lost to a lot of bad cards. I also want to say though, if you do think this card sucks, I don't think you should harass anybody beyond saying this card sucks. You know, be friends, be chill.
Dissenting? Dissenters?
I just want to say that you can have friends where you think all their cards suck. You can even have podcasts with them.
I feel like
I've McBain and I do.
I have like a really skewed like perspective on this because I look around at like the way we talk to each other and like the way we talk to like, you know, everybody else, especially in the local community. And there's a good amount of like shit talking and like, you know, it's all from good places. And it'd be hard to, you know, I don't know, be confronted with some like actual mean-spirited shit talk. I don't know. I think I just see it all as good fun. Because I mean, to me, that's like one of the better parts, at least our local community, is nobody takes themselves too seriously, you know. And I come here every other week to get shit on for playing white creatures. And I keep coming back.
I think in fairness, for anyone else who plays white creatures, we should do mostly because you don't play Legacy. And then secondary is that when you do play, you play bad cards.
I'm just giving you content. That's my main thing.
And I mean, we are short on that right now. Like, look, we're talking about this next card, which probably no one else listening thought of, Dissenter's Deliverance. This one's
I didn't even know what this did.
It's one in a green. It destroys target artifact, not enchantment, just artifact. And it cycles for one green. I have played this card, I want to say, probably 25 times at least. Before they gave us Force of Vigor. But this is one that popped up again on like the Infect thread on the source, because it was a playable kind of main deck out to Umezawa's Jitte. And I would actually consider putting this back into my main deck if there was like tons of like Stoneblade and D&T.
It's good against Chalice too, right? It's two mana, right?
It gets a Chalice, and then yeah, sometimes you just cycle it away. I top aided a 1K in Seattle one time, and I have two like plays I distinctly remember where end of turn I had no spells that I could put on the stack that would actually go into my graveyard. I had like another creature I could play, but I didn't do anything. And I needed to pitch a card into my yard somehow to play Become Immense. And I end of turn cycled this and got there. I'm just telling you that I have good memories with. Actually, there's three. I also played against Elliot and he goes, well, am I dead? After things were already tipping not in his favor. And I was like, I don't know. And then I drew it. I'm like, cycle the center's deliverance, and then picked up my next card. I was like, oh yeah, invigorate. and I destroyed a Grim Monolith that my opponent played before they could actually tap it for mana and do anything, because they were just playing it out and were going to kind of go off the next turn.
You know, it'd be really sweet if this also... So I just looked at this and I'm like, what is this card? And it's like, I just say green shatter with cycling. But if it was green shatter with cycling and kicker, where like if you paid three, you would destroy the artifact and draw a card, or you could just cycle it and draw a card. That's fire policy right there.
Ooh, entwine.
I had D&T opponents tap out to equip Jit, and I just blew it up in game one.
I love. And you gotta wait for them to attack in, and then you're like blocks, and they're like, "Oh, I'm gonna use my first strike," and you're like, "No,
I was gonna kill them the next turn, so it wasn't. It was just like kill this. So they don't have to waste time here." But it was just game one, and the opponent just looked at me and went, "You're main decking that?" And they were probably correct to ask me that question, but I got him. So that's my Dissenter's Deliverance stump.
There's something to be said about like the absolute floor of the card being like green draw card.
Yeah. I think it's not playable in many decks. I think in the right meta, it is playable. And in fact, it's certainly not a card that you're going to see all the time.
Who put the next one on here?
I did.
Tell me about it. I can't even remember what this one does.
Really? It's creeping back into Alzheimer's.
You're the one who plays like standard and things like that.
This is creeping back into Legacy. It's Teferi, Hero of Dominaria. If you are like McBain and don't know what it does, it's 3 blue white for a planeswalker. Comes in with 4 loyalty counters, plus 1 draw card at the end of turn, untap 2 lands, minus 3, put target permanent 3/3 from the top of your opponent's library.
Non-land permanent,
sorry. Minus 8 is the ultimate. Whenever you cast a spell, exile target permanent.
Draw a card.
Whenever you draw a card, exile target permanent. Venser's
permanent controls.
Like a powerful card costs like a little too much, I think, to get played a lot. But like, when you're playing a control deck, man, like, even if you don't have, even if you are a Force of Will deck, untapping those two lands after you draw is like pretty big game.
Teferi's great.
I think it's like, just from the effect of like, even if it wasn't part of the loyalty thing and it was just like, when you play this, untap two lands, I think that's pretty cool. Like, just from a almost harkening back to Urza Saga days, but where it doesn't let you play it right away, but when you do, it's kind of at a discount rate. I think that's cool. The next card.
That's another blue-white planeswalker. Also effectively costs three, because it does cost three. slightly less powerful. Dovin, Hand of Control.
Now, why is this a near miss? Why isn't it just a total miss? Like, why is this cool?
Because a friend of the show, who we haven't seen in a while, he's not listening to this, but for some reason he is. Kale, hope you're doing well, buddy. Friend of the show and local, Kale, he got published with 5-0-ing with just a real pile.
I want to say two times.
I feel if we ever went back to proxy in paper legacy, Kale would be out in a second. Like, he was always one of the guys who would be like there on Thursday night early with scissors cutting out some crappy black and white proxy that he'd gotten. And it would probably be a Dovin or some mono red storm or something. Yeah, Dovin is a pile.
Should we read what Dovin does? Because, I mean, it's something special.
So let's hear it. Let's hear it written.
This is from memory here.
Okay. Right away.
So this is two colorless and a blue-white hybrid for a Dovin Planeswalker. It has five loyalty. Did I get it? Five loyalty. Perfect. And it says, I think, instant sorceries, enchantments, and artifacts your opponents cast cost one more.
Not enchantments, but no. Everything else.
Instant sorceries, artifacts cost one more. And you can minus one to like fog something until your next turn.
Yeah, prevent all damage that would be dealt to and dealt by target permanent opponent controls.
Yeah, so Kale 5-0'd twice with this deck. This is really like early War of the Spark. And it's basically all of the War of the Spark planeswalkers shoved together. So he's playing Karn, Great Creator, a bunch of Narsets, and Dovin. And the general idea is just Turbo Dovin, like turn one, and you know, get the tax package going, and then get some Karn stuff to lock him out. I mean, by today's standards, it looks horrendous, but it's a thing of beauty.
I might play this on Thursday.
I'm thinking. Surely you can just do a few little updates.
Yeah, like I'll play some Hull Breachers, and I don't know what else, but I'm thinking about it.
So the next one, the next near miss, which was actually like, it's kind of gotten a little lukewarm or tepid every once in a while, is Terramander. When this card came out, like, it was another cool one where it's just like one blue, get big. What's the big black card that has Delve that everyone always is fondly thinking of?
Tombstalker.
Tombstalker, yeah. And it was like this kind of like make your own Tombstalker pseudo Delver thing. It gets played every once in a while, but it's a little too prohibitive, I think. But in terms of like a quote unquote near miss that we're talking about, I feel it's like right on that edge of this could actually be totally reasonable and a thing, but I think it's a near miss.
Yeah, I think it was a near miss when it got printed. And then I think they printed enough stuff that just pushed it out. Like the whale, like Sprite Dragon, all that stuff. It's just like, it seems like a little bit better.
Yeah, Sprite Dragon is probably the big thing, because this was coming up obviously like mono blue Delver and then like blue red. Yeah, and like Sprite Dragon gets out of there so fast. Like that card gets, you know, big. This is my world-renowned commentary.
Well said. Well said. That thing gets big.
Gets big.
Card gets big. You know, just card gets big. The last one we have here, I put this on too.
This is a good one. This is a really good one.
Someone who fears Umezawa's Jitte more than pretty much any other card in Legacy. Fumble. This is a Battle Bond card. It's a one in a blue instant that's unsummoned, except you gain control of all auras and equipment that were attached to it, and then attach them to another creature. And I've never done this, but now I'm thinking about instead sleeving up Infect and just putting this in there so maybe I can live my dream finally. Damage happens. Jitte triggers on the stack. Fumble your Thalia. Put that Jitte onto my Glistener Elf, and we're going to town.
I will say Colin's got me with a fumble before.
Of course he has. Colin, you beautiful creature.
And Colin in went. The same vein as fumble, I just thought of this. You have a grip of Phyresis? Or grip was
Phyrexia? Sideboarded grip of Phyresis, yeah.
Yeah. The 3 mana, gain control of an equipment, and you get a living, like a 0/0 germ equipped to it. Yeah, I've gotten got by that too. I think also by Colin.
Who added this last entry?
I did. So in terms of like near misses, I think the ultimate near miss of like it could have been so much more, but we're stuck with it, is the London Mulligan. I wonder sometimes if they should have printed that or not.
Yeah, you know, it's been a good amount of time since we've been on this. I guess, what's your brief, like, London Mulligan feeling?
Well, they can't fix it because Magic players can't understand the stack. So there's no way they could understand 2 Mulligan rules. But I think this is perfect in Limited.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not getting constructed.
You know, for some of the older formats, like playing it in like old school or some of like these pre-modern and things, it feels totally fine in all of those. I don't know how it feels in standard, but
it's busted in standard.
And is it?
Yeah. Because there's powerful cards and there's still combo decks, right?
I think it's like a power game. Yeah.
I think the London Mulligan kind of pushed things far enough with like a couple of the standard decks to like make cards bannable. Because there were a couple of cards that operated on, like, I need these 2 pieces, and you just found the pieces.
I think they're...
I know from...
Oh, go ahead, McVane.
Go ahead. Okay, I'll go. You shut up. I just always hate the go ahead, and then they both say go ahead, and then someone goes ahead again, and you're like, oh, we're still doing this? Like, we're in the 21st century, come on. Where was it going? From an Eldrazi perspective, like as I've been playing that a bunch online recently, like it's really nice to be able to be like, I need a chalice on turn 1 and to be able to go get that and also keep a reasonable coherent hand that's not a total pile. And it doesn't feel that overpowered at all. Like you're already down to 5 cards or something like that and your opponent still has their Force of Wills and whatever else they're doing. But so I would probably echo the same for like mono red, where it's still pretty fragile. You've got like things like Force of Vigor, where even if you have your blowout hand, you can still get taken out. But I don't know. Maybe London Mulligan shouldn't be on here.
Get rid of it. Fuck London Mulligan. It's good and limited. It's good and old school. But I just tweeted the other day too. I fired up a league and I put in mulls to like,
Trich
just mulled the tree, and like you know, you get your little like mitts, and you're like, I feel like there's kind of a mulligan threshold. Suddenly, mulligan's a 5, and you're like, oh baby, like I got this guy. You know, bad luck, they suck. I got this. Yeehaw. They mulligan lower than 5. I think your alarm starts going off, right? You're like, this is bad news. But like mulliganing to 3, no London Mulligan, like oof. But mulliganing to 3 and getting LED Faithless Looting Golgari Grave Troll is just oi, oi, oi.
It's funny, there's this human bias that people have about risk aversion, where when things are like pretty nice, like when you have 7 cards going down to 6, like you're pretty risk averse to going down. So people will more likely keep their seven more often than not. But once you're down at five, you're just like, whoa, I'm in for a penny, in for a pound. And they like, and they like throw all their risk aversion out the window. And it's just like, I am risk seeking. The only way I'm winning this game now is if I like really spike this hand. So I'm going to do this. And so it'll be the total opposite, almost predictably. But, you know, Jeff, I think we've found out earlier what will solve this problem. Running one ley line of the void in your sideboard.
The perfect counter.
Yeah.
Leger was doing this before the London Mulligan, though, right? Which makes it even more like just, I don't know.
This is like all the way back to like 2014. I'm sure it was even before then. You should probably do that, Jeff, just for the next little while. Just run one ley line of the void and just ranch people when you do it.
Put one main.
Along with your one fumble main for Quinn.
Right, very, very quickly, and thinking about how there are god accounts coming again, and so we're not limited to the cards we own. Which one of these cards are you most likely to sleeve up next? McBain, we made you delete some, but bring them back if you're going to throw them in the deck.
Of all the cards that we've talked about?
You get your god account, and you're feeling spicy. Maybe you like five out a couple leagues, you're just like playing with house money. And you're gonna like burn through a league for free. Which one of these cards are you playing?
Well, those are all like gambler terms. I was like, no, these are all bad ideas. Don't do this.
Just put it all on one of these cards. Spin the wheel.
I'd probably go with Solemnity and just try to do something silly.
It's a good one. I would love to do what we were talking about a bit before, which is play two of these cards and play Dovin, Hand of Control, and Court of Cunning together. That seems very fun. Just some Chrome Mox, Court of Cunning, Dovin.
I think I'm also on Dovin. I want to play Chaos List. I don't know if I actually want to play it on Thursday, because if it sucks, I don't want to be stuck in like three human matches or like dropping and ruining the pairings. Should we want to? We can, let's like put it out here. Well, we can make some changes. Do you want to stream like the core of Kale's List? Let's do it. Okay. We'll link it. And if you're listening to this, you have some time before the God accounts go live. Other than suggesting that we play an entirely different deck, which would be valid, but it's not what we're going for, give us suggestions on how we can tweak this deck for 2021. I think our best is 4-1. So we're not even looking for trophies. Like, we're just trying to come out above even. But yeah, we'll link that in there. Tweet at us, and then we'll run this War of the Spark mistakes pile.
There has to be some more mistakes we can add to that.
It's playing Karn, Narset, Teferi, right?
It's got a high collection of mistakes.
I think we can throw Hull Breacher in there.
Yeah.
Is it Esper or is it blue-white?
It's just blue-white.
Okay, so we can't put in opposition agent.
We can make it Esper.
We could. Anyways, we'll talk about this later on. But in the meantime, we'll end with That's Gas to finish things off on a positive note. Jeff, you have two good ones?
Yeah, Collective Together. I just wanted to shout out Lee Wynn and Patrick Spiffy Neostar. They were streaming just the other day over on Lee's Twitch channel, which is One Mr. Lee, I believe. They're streaming to raise money. They're streaming absolute trash decks. I think they played nine of them and raising money for Stop AAPI Hate. I think they raised $453 or something, which is great to raise money for that community and just bring awareness to stuff. So big shout out to them. I mean, we shouted out both of them individually before. Lee is really a great member of both the relatively local community and the bigger legacy community at large. And Patrick does a ton of great work on his YouTube, which I will find the link for and post, playing awful decks. It was a great thing to watch and raising money for a good cause.
We'll make sure we link to both those guys McBain. You're leaving us in suspense. There's nothing in the notes. Who you got?
I've been getting back into Limited the last two sets. So Kaldheim and now Time Spiral. And every time I usually shy away from Limited because there's a certain amount of like time investment where you have to get over the hurdle of like understanding what the format is and how to play in it properly. Some people really like just going in blind and having that adventure. There's enough of like a spike in me that wants to win and have a good game of Magic that I generally shy away from that. Maybe I should do some exploration more, but so I'm always eager to like consume some content and understand how a format's working. And I've really continued to be impressed by Limited resources with Marshall and LSV. I listened to them years ago when I didn't even think LSV was on it, but just whatever other Limited format I was doing, but coming back to it and just seeing how refined of a show it is now and listening to each of their different points of view and how they work through everything. It's really a phenomenal show. And I can't recommend it highly enough if you're looking to get into Limited or even just become a better player in general. There's a lot of like concepts that they go over that cascade into all sorts of other formats. So big shout out to those two. LR is gas.
As a podcaster, do you think borrowing / accidentally stealing segments from other podcasts is genius or grifter?
Genius when done right?
Okay, just throwing it. That was an LR reference that I thought, you know, I thought that was just topical. My bad. he just got back in, clearly. If he doesn't know genius or grifter.
No, I know genius and grifter, but I don't know. Like, I think it's like if you do steal someone's segment, it's like, if anything, you're kind of tipping the hat to say it's a good segment and I like it. I don't know. A lot of, on a side tangent, a lot of other podcasts will have like a Q&A session. We don't do Q&A sessions really, but I've always thought of like a genius or grifter. Do you take other podcasts questions and answer them as if they were directed at you?
It's a good one.
So is that genius or grifter? Right back at you.
Right. Well, moving on with scoops. I would like to scoop whoever fixed the deck dumps into top 8. I know we joked about it earlier, but actually there's no other tournaments or very few other tournaments running. We're not getting out there. Obviously you see your opponents when you play online. But it's like a big deal right now. And it's something that I think keeps a lot of people connected to Magic. Half joking, half serious, keeps podcasts with things they can talk about. And so, yeah, glad to see those back today and really looking forward to seeing, especially in a wide open Legacy format, all of the crazy stuff that people are going to play. Did neither of you get the scoops and poops thing? No? Really?
I got it.
Okay. Well, just like, no, there's no reaction. You know, I thought that was, I thought it was real.
No, to be fair, I didn't even want to bring it up because it was so like perfectly seamless. Transitioned and inserted in there. So I was just like, again, tip of the hat.
I'm just online right now, clicking around, canceling the improv shows that I have booked for after I get vaccinated. Well, with my improv career on hold, I will say that I think we're ready to shut this down and I'll be back, I guess, in 2 thresholds since I got nothing better to do. But before we do that, where can people find you, Jeff?
I am on Twitter, currently tweeting about Monster Hunter and confusing everybody at JeffDKK.
Seriously. I did not understand like half of that tweet that you sent out the other night.
You know, I'm branching out. I have more than one brand. I'm a multifaceted person.
You have to actually play these things to be that person, you know?
Do you have a Monster Hunter podcast? Like
Maybe on the off week on the threshold.
Trying to think of like alternate universe us, like Monster Hunter us.
Well, there was the last Thursday, there was like a parallel Digimon webcam tournament that was going on at the same time as the Legacy tournament.
Digimon?
Yeah, that's what I said.
Oh, yeah.
And so, like, the pairings were up, and it was, like, you know, like, 9 tables, like, 18 or 20 people posted for the Legacy thing. And then we went to go to the tables, and they were all full. And we're like, what the hell is this? And then someone's like, oh, a Digimon tournament's going on. And the rounds were kind of out of sync. So I think it was in the 3rd round, it looked as though they were done. So I just went into, like, table 3 or whatever I was in. Actually, I was probably in a lower table, like table 9. And we're in there, and I was, like, you know, making, like, nice conversation with my opponent before we start. And then, like, 2 people just, like, drop right into the channel, and they're like, there's a Digimon tournament going on in here. Get out of this channel. And it's just, like, the most, like, no sir I got from someone in a long time. I was like, oh, sorry, I guess. Like, make way for your War Metal Greymon or whatever you got going on here. And just, like, went down to table 19 or whatever it was. But
I definitely thought your story was going to be like, you sit down, you shuffle up, you say, all right, like, I'll go first. Good. And then go, okay, Agumon pass.
That would have been better. That would have been ideal. But no, we just got, like, told the fuck off by a Digimon player.
That's got to be, like, the low of quarantine.
Oh, yeah. It was. Yeah. If you wanted to tweet your Digimon card game memes at me, you could do it at Servant Painter. And Quinn, where could people tweet their Pokemon findings if they got, like, sparkly Pokemons?
It's called Shiny, and you can find me at Quinn Omori. But I got most of 70 trades. Thank you very much. And you can find us all at Canadian Thresh. Anything else before we sign off, guys?
You can trade on there now?
On Pokemon Go? Yeah, we can talk about this after we saw. Yes, you can.
Follow us on Twitch, Canadian Thresh. We will be streaming at some point with bad decks and losing money.
And in the interim will be the Legacy podcast that's digivolving into something more compelling over the next 2 thresholds. We'll see y'all later.
Get the fuck out of here.
Tombstalker!